take just a minute to say thank you for the wonderful care we've received, the wonderful meals. It's all been delicious, amen, and the fellowship has been just outstanding, amen. And I'm glad to get to know some of you a little bit, amen. I knew that fellow back there since we were knee-high to grasshoppers, amen, but it's just nice to be able to come and spend some time. And I just hope the Lord will let me do it again if I stay around this world very long, amen. Preacher was saying, you know, if what would happen to you if maybe you didn't make it to 24 hours, or you didn't make it through to Monday, or, and I'm just sitting there thinking, Lord, if I went home right now, especially having seen that video, I know some of those faces too, we've been there. If I went home right now, I'd go home the happiest man on earth. I've seen the fruit of my labor. There's a man that wasn't in that video, but he was in our ministry in Pangaea and was a deacon in the church there. And I'll just give you his name. It's Eke Lama. When Eke got saved, he was naked as a jaybird. And don't take that too badly, because most of New Guinea was naked at that time. And as I said last night, the one thing I never had to teach them to do was put clothes on. Immediately when they got saved, they put clothes on. And Eke was a boy. He was about 17 years old when he got saved. And he prayed that night and he said, God, I don't believe you'd call me to preach, but Lord, if you'd help me, I want to start a business. And I'll strive to give you back half of everything that comes in. So he started a little business in an 8x8 building. And the Lord, he gave 10%. The Lord blessed that, of course. And he added 8 foot the other side, one side. Now it's 8x16. And he upped his in giving to about 11%. And the Lord blessed that. And he doubled the size of that. And now it's 16x16. And he again increased his giving. And the Lord blessed that. He bought a store in a neighboring town 45 minutes away and paid cash. And he upped his giving again. And the Lord blessed that. And he bought a truck, which I owned for a while. I bought it from him to haul dogs on. But he hauled people on it. And the Lord blessed his giving from that episode. And he began to buy businesses up all over the country. In 2007, I was there to visit. I went with Mark. You heard him. We went for his survey trip, and I ran into him. And what a miracle that I was standing in a bank in the capital city of Port Moresby. There are no roads connecting to where we were from there in Pangaea, or where he was from. You have to go by air, and it's quite a task just to get there. And here I am standing in the bank, and in the door of Wateke. I mean, you couldn't miss him. He was like a brother, you know, and so. These people are looking at us and wondering what's going on, because here's this Papua New Guinean, this American, and we're dancing around a circle, hugging each other and shouting, thank you, Lord, you know, because we got to see each other. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Cliff, do you remember my prayer? I said, okay, I've told the world about your prayer. He said, this year, this was 2007, this year, he said, I was able to give 55% of my income. And he said, I ran for a public office because the people wanted me to. He only had a sixth grade education. Now listen, that's not like a sixth grade American education, okay? That's about fourth grade, maybe. But a sixth grade education, he ran for office and he won. And the party was so impressed with his testimony that they began to promote him up through the party. When I saw him in 2007, he had already been the third man in government, in the Papua New Guinea government. Now, that's like Nancy Pelosi, the third man in our government. I mean, amen. In other words, if the president or the prime minister and the vice prime minister were to die, he would have been the prime minister. That's how far he got. And he began to cry a little bit. He said, Brother Cliff, I had to resign from my office. I said, why? He said, God called me to preach.
Amen.
We went to our Bible school, learned. He's had some things come into his life that kind of preclude him from preaching now. But long story, Papua New Guinea won out on him, amen. And anyway, that's a long story. But he never failed to stay with his promise to God. And I have a picture of him in my phone right now. My granddaughter in Papua New Guinea, you heard Mark say that, and her husband. I just want to tell you, when you invest in people, you'll never know what that return is.
That's right.
Until it all comes in.
That's right.
Kenny Bell invested in me nearly 50 years ago. He had no idea what God was going to do with me. And here's Brother Eke. And he, standing there with my granddaughter, holding one of my great-granddaughters, my grandson-in-law, and my other great-granddaughter. And he had just purchased a hotel with a restaurant, 6 million kina. That's about $2 million, and he paid cash. He supports every Baptist church, their preacher, the church, anything they need that he knows of in Papua New Guinea until they can be self-supporting. He helps them out that way. Beloved, it's amazing what God will do if you're just willing. I was in Kenya, Africa. They all met me like this. They wanted what was in my pocket, so I pulled it out and showed them. One night I was preaching. I said, look, you're trying to get my money. I didn't have anything in my pockets that night. But I said, here's what you're going to get if you want my money. I don't have any. You think God sent you a rich man, but God fooled you. God sent you a poor man who knows how to get a hold of the riches of God and put them in the work of God. And if you'll let me show you, I can show you. And I told them what I said here last night. God will give more through you than he'll ever give to you. And I told them a story. I said, you know, I came here and I said, y'all met me like this. I went to New Guinea, they met me like this. They were so thrilled that I had people, my first week there, I went back deeper into the bush for a goodbye service for a missionary. As we're traveling back through there, I'd see little old ladies. I mean, I'm talking still, they were naked too, standing in a ditch taking a bath. I mean, imagine taking your bath in a ditch full of muddy water. And they're standing there taking a bath and they'd see me coming. And they'd stand up and they began to say, Kewanuku! Kewanuku, and they begin to cry as they said, Kewanuku, Kewanuku. And I looked at this missionary kid that was with me and I said, what are they saying? He said, Brother Cliff, they're thanking you. I said, what are they thanking me for? I just got here. They said, Brother Cliff, they think you left heaven to come to them. They think America is the second heaven. I mean, I had to unlearn them of a lot of fallacies. They thought our streets were paved with gold. They didn't think we had potholes. They didn't think we had people that worked for a living. I had to explain to them over and over why I was there and how I stayed there, because people sacrificed and gave and worked and labored so I could go there, be there with them, and preach the gospel to them. And those folks got saved. And I'm telling you, I left there in 1994. I'm not going to add up how many years that is. My brain would mess it all up right now. But I'm still reaping. I'm still seeing the results of the labor God had me do in Papua New Guinea.
Amen.
And everywhere I've been with the gospel, God has let me go back where we've planted a work and put a school there to train men. And we've gone back, and I'm still leaving. Beloved, I'm a happy man tonight. I'm telling you, man, there's, Brother Ken, my eyes are sweating, but, you know, it's a good thing.
Amen.
Man, if you could see what I've seen, it'd make you sell everything you've got, man. Just throw it all in and go back then. Just go serve God somewhere. It's the greatest thing on earth, folks. You young people, Where'd they all go? They all backslid on me again tonight.
They went back to the back row.
Let me tell you this. There's nothing as good in this world as serving Jesus Christ.
That's right. Right.
The greatest thing you'll ever do.
Amen.
Take your Bibles, go to Acts 26 again tonight. Thank the Lord, my mother's here tonight. My mother's very special, not just because she's my mother, but because she almost died giving birth to me. She was the first human being ever to be put on the kidney dialysis machine. And both kidneys had failed at my birth. And so that machine brought back one of her kidneys. And she's still here with us tonight. She's 86 years old. Amen. And she didn't drive herself. Amen. But I thank the Lord for Brother Wilbur and Miss Barb. They drove her so she could be here tonight. Acts 26:18. The Bible says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, Father, again, I, God, humbly beg with all of my might, God, please take this vessel, fill it again to overflowing, God, and please, Lord, speak here tonight as you would have it spoken. The best I know how, God, I give you the vessel. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, last night I mentioned we'd be looking at the second phrase and turn them from darkness to light. And if we're going to do that, first thing we're going to have to do is go where God wants us to go. Man, I don't know how to do that. Well, you have a book that tells you how to do that.
Amen.
The book of Psalms, I believe it's chapter 37, says this. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But it doesn't stop there. It says, and he delighteth in his way. You're looking at a happy liver tonight. I'm not a happy camper. I'm not camping. I live in a fifth wheel trailer. They call it a camper. I don't. Folks say, what about your camper? I said, you mean my house? I live there. I'm living. I'm not camping. I'm not out there just bouncing around the woods looking for an animal. I'm out there serving God, looking for a soul, looking for a person, amen, looking for somebody that's looking for God. And I don't have time. We are so far into this thing, I don't have time to waste my time on animals. I don't have time to waste my time on people that don't want God. Time is short, beloved.
Amen.
My prayer as I go out into the public realm, each time I go, is God, lead me to the one that's looking for you. Amen.
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean I don't pass out tracts to whoever comes along. I understand that. Well, I'm going to tell you, you better have some discernment to go where God tells you to go. You know, sometimes that still small voice will say, stop right there. And how many times when we hear that, we just, I got things to do. No, you don't. Not if God said, stop right there. I've heard story after story after story of people that pass somebody by and that person died. But I've got some stories for you that God took me somewhere where I wasn't supposed to be and somebody lived and got eternal life. I remember way back when I started preaching, I was in a nursing home. And we had a tongue-tied gal in there. Her name was Hattie. And Hattie came to me. She had gotten saved. And she came to me one night after the service and she said, Tinker, when you come to my room and witness to my roommate, she's lost. She's old. She's going to die and go to hell. I can't get her saved. I said, let's go, Hattie. In that nursing home, everybody called me pastor. I was the only man going in that thing with a Bible. The staff, if they had a problem, they came to me. I'd bury their people. I'd do whatever they could. So I looked at the gal behind the counter. I said, I'm going back with Hattie. Oh, you know the way, preacher. Help yourself. And I can stay as long as I want. There was no hours for me to come and go. If I came, there was something going on that they needed me for. And so I'm walking down the hallway with Hattie. We go into her room. And here's this old gal sitting there, 91 years old. She's sitting in a chair. And she's got this with tray like you would have on your child when you set him in the high chair. And they put that on there so she didn't fall out. And I began to talk to her about the Lord, and she was raised a Methodist, but she was as lost as the day is long. That's all she could say. I was a Methodist. I was a Methodist. I was a Methodist. When people do that, I just say, I'm a Baptist, but I'm saved. How about you? And we went on and on and on and on. And about 11:30, you ever seen them shades when you pull them and they go, ah, ah, ah. That's what her eyeballs looked like. She went, all of a sudden, she sat there and she went, you mean that's all there is to it in North Carolina? I said, yes, ma'am, that's all there is to it. She said, I better get saved. And she bowed her head, began to cry out to God, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I've been religious all my life. But God, my religion ain't doing nothing for me. They don't even come see me in this place. Oh, God, I'm dying. I'm going to hell. God, please save me. She cried out to God. That was 11:30, right there, about a little before. I went out and got my car and drove home. My phone rang at 11:55. The coroner was in her room to take out her body. The last opportunity she had was me. And I want you to know tonight, you might be somebody's last shot. It's important to be listening to the still small voice. You better go where God tells you to go.
Amen.
Because you just might save somebody from hell by going where you're supposed to be. I've met guys that say, man, I fought the call of God. I've never fought the call of God. I don't know what that's about. I'm sorry for you. I'm not sorry for me. I mean, you see what that is, right? You saw the I call them slides. They're not slides anymore. What are they? Videos, I guess, huh? That's fruit from what we did years ago. That's my daughter with my granddaughters and two of my grandsons were over there. Amen. And my son-in-law. Don't come step away. Don't tell him this, but he's a pretty good son. When he came to me, I put him through the 10th degree. I mean, he didn't tell you that whole story. When he had a son-in-law that wanted to be his son-in-law, he called me up and said, put him through the same test you did me. It's okay. He called me up and told me who he was, and I knew his dad, but I couldn't remember him much. Him and Christy just met in passing in the vestibule of church on that night we were there. Christy went with me on the road that trip. And he said, the reason I'm calling is I was just thinking about it. I've been praying about this and talked to my dad, and I talked to my pastor, and they both said, be pretty good. Why don't you go talk to Brother Taylor? So he says, I'm calling you to. I'd like to court your daughter for marriage. I said, okay. Now, my daughter had been through some trials and things, and she came to me as a 20-year-old, I guess. She came to me and she said, Dad, I don't even want to know what a young man's interested in me until you and Mom have peace. Okay. So I told him. I said, listen, my daughter's not even going to meet you until her mother and I are sure that you're the one God wants her to marry. And if you're not, son, goodbye. Okay? And I said, well, here's what's going to be. I want you to come and meet my wife and I. Now, my daughter's not going to be there. Her sisters aren't going to be there. Why? Because they got big yaps, amen. So I called a girl in church, a friend of mine, 60 miles away over in Corey, and I said, look, I need April to call and ask for Christy and the girls to come over this weekend. He said, why? And I told him, okay. About 10 minutes, my phone rang. Mr. Taylor, this is April. I said, yeah, can you be quiet about this? He said, yes, sir. I said, okay. Yeah, Christy and them can come over. So I hung up and off they went. Well, Marcus, he's so punctual, man. I mean, they almost met in the driveway. The girls pulled out this way and Mark pulled in that way. He's sitting back there. I didn't realize he was. I thought he was going downstairs. Amen. Lo and behold, he came in the house, and man, he treated us with such respect. And I knew it wasn't fake respect. It was the real deal. And I said, man, this kid is real. So my wife and I, we watched his mannerisms, and that next morning he went to church with us, and I had an old man that played the guitar when the piano player, who was Christy, wasn't there. And he played the guitar, and Mark stood up and he said, what key is that in? He's playing his trumpet back then, I believe it was that day. He said, that's G. So he played it in G. The next song, Mark said, what key are you playing that in? He said, that's G. And I said, Mark, you ain't figured out he plays everything in G. Just figure that out and go with it, amen. And so he was there, and the old man came up to me. We called him the old man. He was younger than I am now. He came up to me and said, preacher, where did you get this kid? I said, God sent him. Yeah. You better grab onto him. There ain't no more like him anywhere. I said, shh, don't tell him that. Amen. So he left and I asked him, I said, would you just, now I want you to, well, did I have you write me before you came? You didn't do that. I had to write me later. Anyways, I had him write me. I said, write me and tell me a little bit about yourself. So he wrote me, and in the letter, he kind of tried to impress me. And you know me well enough already. I don't impress. And so I didn't answer him back. And my wife said, you gonna answer him back? I said, nope. Well, he's expecting an answer. I said, yep. You ain't going to answer him? Nope. Why? I said, if he's serious, he'll call me back. He got a hold of me again. And I told him, I said, son, I don't impress. I said, I here's what I told you to do. This is what I want from you. I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know what's on your heart for God. If you ain't got nothing on your heart, once again, you know. And he wrote me another letter, and it was him. It was all his heart poured into that thing. And when I saw that young man's heart, I said, that's the one right there. I knew it. He pulled out the driveway. My wife and I looked at each other and said, did we raise that boy? He's already like our own son. And the rest is history, amen. They got married, and now the fruit's in the video. And the things they're doing for God totally thrill my soul. Why? You can say anything you want to about that young man right there, but I know one thing. He went where God wanted him to go. He's in one of the hardest and probably the hardest area of Papua New Guinea. But you know what I found? People getting saved. We were over there in 2012, came back in 2013. We were there about a month and a half. We spent in the whole country. I think we were there with them about 3 weeks. And there's faces in there I know, folks that got saved, folks that helped him do some work around there. And you go where you belong, you go where you're supposed to, you know what will happen. God likes obedience. Amen. You go where you're supposed to be, and God can show up. Yeah. And you go when you're supposed to get there. Listen, have you ever been hindered serving God? No. Huh? No? Man, I have. The biggest hindrances I've ever had are serving God. The devil doesn't like you serving God. He doesn't like God using you to get somebody else saved. So what happens? He'll hinder you. He'll do everything he can to turn you the wrong way or stop you before you're supposed to stop or get you going so fast you'll go right by where you're supposed to be. It's important to go where God sends you and to go in God's time. I had preachers ask me, Mark, he's unusual. He's Mark. He's an individual. And I had preachers ask me, he was on deputation, is that boy ever going to get there? And I'd look at him and say, in God's time. And a couple of times I wondered, is that boy ever going to get there? And God would say, in my time. Well, he's been there now for 10 years. Amen. Jesus said this there in verse 17. He said to Paul, the Lord said to Paul, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. You know what God's looking for you tonight? Amen. Especially you young folk. Listen, us old guys, man, we are winding down. Things are getting slower. They don't move like they used to. We can't pick it up like we used to. But I'm going to tell you something. God can still use us. But you know what God likes? You can give him your whole life. If I had one thing to do over, Brother Ken, I'd have got saved at 5 years old and lived for Jesus my whole life. I wouldn't have had all the garbage I got going along beside me. All the baggage. Man, I could be clean in my mind and serve God. I've seen God do miraculous things over and over and over again in 40 years. And I've often thought, what would have happened if I could have started this thing at 5 years old and never had all this filth come through my mind and through my life? Amen. He sent him, though, to the Gentiles. Listen, God is looking for somebody. He's looking for somebody that's willing to go wherever he wants them to go. God's got a place for you. It might be right where you're sitting.
Mom.
Shingle House needs God too. I looked downtown when the preacher and I went down yesterday. Amen. They still ain't all saved. Amen.
Man, all over this world, there's people right now tonight. There's a Macedonian call coming out from somebody somewhere. I've gone into villages in New Guinea, in Kenya, in Cuba, and several places where somebody's been crying out to God. And I've had people come up after I preached and shake my hand, and they said, they look at me and say, I've been praying for you. And now God sent you. Man, I'm telling you, it's humbling. I mean, you ever been the answer to somebody's prayer? Man, what a thing. And all I did was go where God said to him. Lord said unto the servant, Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and hedges. I'm noticing something as I travel America right now. The highways are getting worse. And the hedges got holes in them. Somebody needs to do something, amen. We get out to Las Vegas, where the school is, with our trailer. On the way out, we broke a spring shackle in a three-year-old trailer. Got out to Texas and began to realize that the refrigerator was falling down through the floor in the slide out. Got down to Florida there and was looking, and the outside skin on the rig is cracking and blistering. It looks like it's separating. It's only 3 years old. The roads are terrible, man. Somebody needs to do something. You know what somebody needs to do? Somebody needs to bring America back to God. That's what needs to be done. Amen. I was in Kenya when they had a Christian president for 38 years. And you could drive anywhere in Kenya on a smooth road. Why? Because a Christian will do it right. He'll spend the money right. He'll put it in the right places. And he'll do the best he can for his people. And that's what that president did. But then after 38 years, he was 81 years old, and he said, I got to step down. He stepped down, and within two years, there were potholes in the highway big enough to bury a bus. 2 years! How do you think we got where we are as a nation? Somebody's been dropping the ball. How do you think we had one wicked woman stand up and get the Bible kicked out of schools, which thenceforth it was kicked out of the public realm? Amen. Can't use it anywhere publicly in the nation as far as the government or anything of that nature. How do you think that happened? One woman. You mean to tell me one woman was stronger than all the church in this land? Somebody dropped the ball.
Somebody forgot to go to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. You got to go where the Lord sends you. You got to go how the Lord sends you. Listen, they got all these plans, these mission boards, and I'm not against mission boards, those of you that are with them. I was with one. I was with Word for the World. And I won't go into all the details of it, but I thank God that right now I'm out of my local church.
And I'm not putting anybody down. I'm not saying anything. Amen. I'm just trying to tell you, I thank God that that's where I am.
But you got to go how the Lord sends you.
I know. I understand. I've been there. I recommend to every new missionary, you raise the support your sponsor said you need. Don't you go undersupported. Why? Because I've done it. I went with what they said I needed, and it wasn't enough. By the time I got there, I had more kids than the guy that told me what I needed did. Amen. It cost more to live for me. Got there, didn't have it. But I'm here to tell you something. If you'll go with what God says go with, when you get there, He'll provide what you need.
That's right.
I went to Kenya to help a fellow that I had trained here in America. And at the time we went to Kenya, my wife and I think I had about $1,300 a month coming in. And God said, you need to go over there with him and help him get that church off the ground. Get it started. Show him what to do. Walk him through it. So I did. You heard his testimony last night, how he stood before the chief of the Maasai tribe. But I tell you, I went over there, my wife and I. And you know what I never lacked for? Anything I needed. All the other missionaries over there had about $5,000 to $8,000 a month coming in. I had $1,500. You know what we did? Same thing they did. You better go how God sends you. You better go, amen, filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, and so send I you. You better be, amen, go with the peace of God. If you don't have peace about anything, don't do it. Period. Wait for the peace of God. What did Jesus tell him over there in John at the end there? I'm sorry, what's it? No, Luke 24:49. Tarry ye in Jerusalem till ye be endued with power. And then just a little bit later, the same writer writes in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. They were tarried in an upper room for the fear of their life. Fear of the Jews. And what happens? In that room walked Jesus, the same one that spoke to them. And what happened? Man, the power fell. And what did they do? 3,000 people got saved. You cannot do this work in your power. Hey, listen, folks. You cannot give what you're supposed to give for missions in your power.
That's right.
It's got to be God. It's got to be Him directing you. Filled with the Holy Ghost, John 20:22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. You got to go in His power. You've got to have the Spirit of God. You've got to have a relationship with the Spirit of God. Listen, man, for I don't know how many years, Brother John, it's been. It's getting better now, but you remember when we first got in this thing. Man, people, Baptists didn't put the words holy and ghost together in the same sentence. Oh, you be charismatic. No, it's Bible.
That's right.
What's His name? His given name. He said, go ye therefore and baptize in whose name? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to make excuses for it for some crazy charismatic. Amen. Brother, he's real. He's just as real to me as you are. And he walks with me and talks with me and speaks to me and tells me what to do. I'm not going to let some nut ruin him or ruin my relationship with him. I got a hold of some old men of God that knew the Holy Ghost. And they taught me, amen, how to walk with him. Hey, listen to me. He is not going to tell you to do anything contrary to that book you're holding in your lap.
That's right. Amen.
If he does, it ain't him.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Filled with, what did Jesus say? He told him to go filled with the Holy Ghost. What did Paul write over there in Ephesians? Be not drunk with wine when it's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That is Paul's epistle. That's you and me. That's the church he's writing to. And he told us to be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're not, you're sinning against God. The sad part is 99% of Baptist people don't know how to do it. Now, let me ask you a question. Would God tell you how to do something and then not tell you how to do it? Huh?
Come on.
The answer's right there in that book. Luke 11, he said, ask, and it shall be given you. And the it it's speaking of is the Spirit of God. Then over there, amen. Let me go there. This isn't in my notes. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine when it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Right? But be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Notice it didn't say speaking to yourself in some unknown gibberish. And by the way, if you study biblical tongues, they're languages.
Amen.
Known languages.
Amen.
The only reason it calls them unknown tongues is because the people around don't know which language it is. Mark played some hymn going down the road yesterday. And I'm listening to it. He says, you know what language that is? I said, I don't know. It's unknown to me, but I know it's a language. And man, I could feel the touch of God as them people in there were singing. Bulgarian or something, I don't know. I know one thing, it wasn't English, it wasn't Spanish, it wasn't Papua New Guinea, amen. Filled with the Spirit. Then he said over there in Acts chapter 5, run back there with me. Acts 5. So he asked, well, preacher, I've been asking, but it just don't seem to happen. What's going on? What's going on? Glad to ask. Look there with me in chapter 5, verse 32. And we're his witnesses, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're his witnesses, those things. And so is also the who? Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that what? Obey him. You asking and you ain't getting it? Where did God tell you to go and you didn't go?
That's good.
Which way did God tell you to turn and you went your own way? Where did you disobey God? See, this thing's important, folks. There's a still small voice that speaks to us from the depths of our soul. And we're all so busy and so running. The wind's going by our ears at 120 mile an hour. And we can't hear when he speaks to us.
Come on.
You better go where he sends you. And you better go the way he sent you.
Mm-hmm.
Filled with the Spirit of God. Because that's what's going to do the work. It ain't you. It's him in you. And he gives peace. Man, if you have no peace, how are you going to give them peace? How are you going to help them find peace? Man, I run into it all the time. Preaching, I'm on.
Their life's all tore up. Sometimes you got to dig way down deep to find out why it's tore up. But man, you ever seen a soul when peace comes to it? My, what a difference.
You go where you're supposed to be, and God will give you what you need to finish the job. Brother Steve Rogan and I, a friend of mine, we were in New Guinea. We were going to town. We were going to go pick up a water tank for one of his churches. You kids remember, was it 2,000 gallon we went after? You remember 2,000 gallon? Okay, sometimes it was 1,000, sometimes 2,000. 2,000 gallon on the back of one of the little Toyota trucks makes that little Toyota truck look like an ant carrying an elephant. I mean, man, it's huge. We're going on our way in town, and he had his daughter with him, one of them, and she had a puppy dog that they were going to give to a guy, one of the national guys in the mission house in town. She was riding inside the truck, and that puppy dog got sick because he'd never ridden in a truck. And you know what happened? I mean, it came out both ends, and that truck didn't smell pretty. So, you know, he said, Robin, get in the back with that mutt, you know. So she jumps in the back, and we're driving along, and all of a sudden we come up on this stretch of road, and you make this bend, and for a half a mile there's warriors, guys in this ditch, the Highlands Highway's curved a little like that, and they got the homemade shotgun, and they're shooting each other like this, and it's a half a mile long. Standing behind them up here on the banks, there's men with wooden shields. They got bow and arrow, they got spears, and there's a tribal fight going on. People are getting shot. And we're driving on the other side over there, so he's over on the other side of that vehicle, on the right side, and he slides up to the right ditch. He's right up, and there's a warrior about that far out the window. And Brother Steve looks at me and says, what do we do now? So I don't know, ask him. So he looks over at the fella and he says, hey, and the pigeon, he asks him, enough people to go? All right, if we go? The guy looks up at him, huh? I'm asking, is it okay if we go? Why do you ask? He said, look, man, it's a tribal fight. You're shooting him, he's shooting you. We don't want to get shot. Well, we wouldn't hurt you. You're missionaries. The guy stands up. Man, he sees fire. He looks at us. It's okay, you can go. He looks at me. I said, okay, we can go. It's his truck anyway, you know. Off we go. And we drove right down through that line. And we got through. Hey, man, as soon as we went through, man, the guns came back down here. Boom, boom. They're shooting each other again after we go by. We got through. Hey, man, we're still here. What are you trying to say? You better have the Spirit of God on you, man, when you start doing some of them things, because you're going to run headlong into the devil's crowd. And you're going to need some wisdom that you don't have. You're going to need some things you don't have. My wife and I were in Kenya, man, when the Kikuyu tribe went nuts over a shooting that happened. I won't get into all the details, but they were looking for blood, and they were looking for white man's blood. Want to know who the only white man was, amen, in town? It wasn't Joe Biden. It's me. And the only white woman was her. And we're in our little, termite tavern, we called it, living in there. And we're down on our knees praying. I mean, you can hear the truck as it went by the house out here about half a mile away. And there's a chant coming out of that thing. It's just as evil as you've ever heard. And that truck's doing this while they're chanting. And they go right around us like this. And could have turned in, but they didn't. Why? We're on our knees praying. Off they went. Amen. You better know the Holy Ghost of God. He'll give you power. He sent us in power. We already quoted Acts 1:8. Sent us in power. And he gives us the provisions. I'm going to try to speed this up just a little bit, but you go back to Exodus 4 and read about Moses. There's Moses standing there, and God says to him, what's that in thy hand? It was a rod. Just a twig. Just a rod. Oh, man.
If I had a Bible education cleared to the doctorate, I could probably go and serve God.
What are you doing with your high school education? What are you doing with your sixth grade education? What are you doing what you've got now for education? If you ain't doing it now, you ain't going to do it there, then, with a doctorate. I've had people say,
if I had a 15-passenger bus, I'd bring more people to church. I said, what are you doing?
doing with your Buick? If you ain't using your Buick for God, you ain't going to use a 15-passenger van for God. That's just simple as that.
Well, they get my Buick all dirty. What do you think they're going to do to that van?
Moses got a rod. Simple rod. God said, what is that? It's a rod. In other words, Moses is acknowledging, man, it's all it is. God ain't much. But what did the Lord want? That rod. Cast it down. Moses obeyed God. He cast it down, and what happened? A supernatural act took place. I don't know about you. I've never thrown down a tree branch and had it turn to a snake. If it does, I'm out the window, man. I ain't got time for the door. There's Moses, man. That thing turned to a serpent. What'd Moses do? Snake went that way. Moses went that way. See how you know that? Because he picked it up by the tail. And when he picked it up by the tail, what happened? Another supernatural act. What's in your hand tonight that God wants?
Come on.
You? What is in your power to give to God that you've got it held so tight your knuckles are white? And God says, just cast it down. That's all I want. You ain't got to put it in the offering plate yet. Just cast it down. Moses, cast it down. What happened? God did a supernatural act. You know what happens every time you put offering in the offering plate? And you put it in there for the glory of God and for the work of God. Do you know what happened? What is money called in the Bible? Filthy lucre. But when you put that filthy lucre in that offering plate, a supernatural act takes place. And God receives it. And it goes out to the work of God. And the work of God gets done. It's amazing, isn't it? What is it that's in your power that God wants that you won't let go of? Tonight would be a good time to let go of it. Cast it now. Lord, this thing ain't done nothing to cause me blisters anyway. It's already blistered my hand. I'm holding on to it too tight. Lord, I might as well. Lord, you might as well take it and do something, God. Lord, I just once like to see you get glory out of something, my God. I've seen your presentation, I don't know, half a dozen times since they've been home. Brother John, every time I see it, tears start running down my face. Why? Because I see God get glory out of something I gave God 40 years ago. God called my children. Oh, he sent them to the jungles of New Guinea where they eat people. I've got a daughter and a granddaughter there. And my granddaughter and grandson are reaping from what something that I sowed into 25, 30 years ago. I think it's wonderful. I had people ask me, Christy, she's going to New Guinea. They're going over there where you were. What do you think about it? I said, I think that's the most wonderful thing on earth. Yeah, we miss them when they're over there. Man, thank God for WhatsApp now. Amen. We get to see them on a regular basis. Even before that, before we could, still didn't matter. We knew what they were doing. You saw the pictures. Hey, you know what they're doing? They're serving God with what they got. Amen. There's so much more I could say. But I think we'll stop right there tonight with this. What is it you're holding on to that God wants?
Come on.
Is it you, young man? Young lady? Is it your children, parent? The greatest honor for me is now to watch my children serve God.
Amen.
My red-headed daughter, she's still got a ways to go. We all do, I understand that, but she's just finally getting hold of it. And God's starting to use her family and use her little girls. And man, what a thrill. She's
She called me up or texted me, you know, sent me this thing, and she said, "Dad, what do you think?" I said, "I think that's wonderful." To hear that God has his hand. How many of you really, I mean, you got a grandchild, you'd love to see God just bless. Huh? I got a bunch of them. 16 grandkids, amen, 2 great grandkids, and I want God to bless every one of them. You know how God's going to bless them? When they're given to God and God can use them. She was carrying our oldest granddaughter in her womb, and I had already prayed for God to take her and use her. And that's the trial they went through at first. I mean, it's a long story, but the government tried to take her away. And all the while, I'm sitting back there thinking, God's got something special for that. She's serving God tonight. I got 2 little great-grandchildren. Man, I'm praying for them. God, please take them and touch them. Lord, first of all, I'm praying you'd come tonight so they ain't got to go through all this mess. But I prayed that 40 years ago. You ain't come yet. So, Lord, would you just please, if you're going to wait that long again, would you do something with them too? Would you touch them? Would you save them? God, please put your spirit in them. Give them a man to go. And God, get them somewhere and serve you. Hey, man, look at this. I got all of eternity to be with my kids. They're spread out all over the place. I got one in Ohio, I got one in Florida, I got one right here. It's going back to New Guinea. Yeah, we get to see them a blink here, a blink there. That's hard on my wife. But here, a little while back, I used to say all the time, I say, well, you know, my wife, she followed me to New Guinea. And the Lord got a hold of my heart one night. She followed you, huh? Boy, you must be pretty slick, hot shot. Did God talk to you like that? Yeah, when I get a little boneheaded, he does. And I said, Lord, what do you mean? He said, you remember the night she knelt down at an altar and said, God, even if it's New Guinea, I don't really care to go there, but Lord, if it's New Guinea, I will go and support my husband. You remember that night? Yeah, I remember it. Hey, stupid, she wasn't following you. She was following me. She just went with you. The greatest thing on earth after my salvation is having a wife that's willing to follow God. Amen. She just gave what she had, and I've watched her. I've watched her in several countries. I've watched her twist and clothes that she gets scrubbed by hand and rubbed her knuckles. I've seen her knuckles bleed from scrubbing clothes. You know what I never saw? I got a picture of her smiling over in Kenya, wringing out clothes with knuckles all chewed up from washing. And she's smiling. She's not smiling so I can take her back to America and show her off. She's smiling because she loves God and is glad to be serving God.
Amen.
Tonight, amen, you're looking at 2 happy livers. If we had to do all over again, listen, since I got saved, if I had to do all over again, I would walk the very same trail. I would take the very same steps. I would make the very same turns. I would stop where I'm supposed to stop. I would go where I'm supposed to go. Why? Because every place along that trail, I've seen God move. And that's what I'm after. I'd rather see God move than anything.
Amen.
What is it that you're holding on to that God wants? Father, best I know how to do what you do. Lord, would you please take the preacher's word and sink it deep in our hearts? Holy Ghost of God, would you serve? Would you move? Would you re-preach anything you got to re-preach? Or God, just re-quote or whatever it takes, Lord, in our soul to get us to obey you, to go where you want us to go in the fashion you want us to go with what you send us with, and trust you to do that.
And Lord, I know you'll do it. You've done time and time and time again. Bless these folks now, I pray. Stir their hearts. In Jesus' name.